It is a new year, but some traditions will remain the same here around Talk 107.3 FM. For example, every Tuesday at 8:35, we do a little DC Current presented by the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. With our DC Current visits, we get caught up on what Louisiana's delegation is doing for us up on Capitol Hill. Tuesday at 8:35 is Congressman Troy Carter, who joins us right now. Congressman Carter, Happy New Year. How are you, sir?
Hey, good morning and Happy New Year to you and all the listeners. I am fantastic. Looking forward to an energized and productive 2024.
Do you make New Year's resolutions?
I do. And typically I either say I'm going to do something better, I'm going to stop doing something bad, or I'm going to try to live a different way. And this year I've determined that I'm going to do a combination of all that. I am going to learn to try my best to forgive and forget faster, rather right or wrong, to seek peace. And sometimes it's better to just move on than to make the argument just to be right. Sometimes holding grudges is like taking poison and expecting the other person to die.
Okay, how are you going to reconcile that with working in Congress?
I'm going to pray a lot. the key is to just keep, I guess the net effect of that is to just keep reaching for the higher ground, trying to stay above the fray and hope that positive energy becomes contagious and people catch on. Listen, you have to be optimistic in a world where things are so challenged. Otherwise, you lose your mind. If you don't keep an upbeat, positive approach to things, it's easy to fall in the doldrums of can't do, won't do. And our society deserves better.
Love it. I love the mentality. He is Congressman Troy Carter. This is DC Current presented by LABI. All right, Congressman, we got some business to attend to. Before we get into 2024, though, I've got to rewind the clock back to last year. You were very proactive in drafting legislation that would take people who were convicted of minor drug charges and get them pardoned, get them out of jail. And by the end of the year, we saw some net results on that. Walk us back through the work and then what you saw as the results.
Yeah, I think in April 22, I assembled a group of advocates and we went to the White House to visit to talk about pardons and expungements for minor marijuana offenses. We know that in America, 38, 39, nearly 40 states in the union now have legalized marijuana in some shape or form, rather it is medicinal or recreational. Yet there are people that are still plagued with these minor offenses on their records. And these records prevent them from being able to, in many ways, get a loan to own a home, to get a certification, to become even a barber or a cosmetologist, or things that they require certifications. So in order to advance people's second chances, if you will, particularly in a case where it's no longer illegal, it makes perfect sense that we have this opportunity. I'm very pleased and honored and appreciative that President Biden heard that. And in addition to the efforts of many others that have been working in this space, advance the cause that I think is going to give a lot of people an opportunity to shed early mistakes in their lives and give them an opportunity to move forward with productive lives and being able to have a full access to education and lending opportunities and a way to be productive citizens again. So, we continue to see the expansion of legalized marijuana. We also see the changes that are happening, like, for example, the scheduling of how marijuana is viewed versus other opioids or cocaine or crack cocaine or heroin, that it is not at that same level.
How many folks can this affect? And let me re-ask that question. How many misdemeanor marijuana charges would be able to be affected by a federal law and not something within the states?
You know, I don't know the exact number, but you'd be surprised. There's a very big number out there, and I don't know, I don't want to guess what the actual ones, but between now and the time we get off the show, my team will send you the actual statistics. But I will tell you this, the reason the federal side was so important is because states across the country are doing this.
Right.
So now you have to have the companion side of the federal government doing it so they match up.
The long and the short of it is we've already seen about a dozen cases already where the president has performed clemency actions as a result of this legislation that you led the charge on.
That is correct, and we're very proud of that. It makes a difference, and particularly we're not talking about murderers or rapists or scam artists. We're not talking about people that have committed felonies or people that have criminal histories or violent histories, rather. We're talking about people who smoked a joint. And again, I'll go back to my earlier comment and prefacing comments in the beginning of our discussion. Nearly 40 states in our union now have legalized marijuana in some shape, form, or fashion. Mm-hmm. And analysts suggest that it will be legalized across the country in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, most of those 40 states, it's legalized under some sort of medical parameters. You have to have a prescription in order to get it. But recreational use, it feels like we're inching in that direction state by state.
But the reality, if you look at the even under recreational use, I mean, even under medicinal use, if you look at how mild the requirements are, how easy it is for someone to get a prescription. Mm-hmm. You know, if you got high blood pressure, most people have high blood pressure. If you have anxiety, most people have anxiety. If you have migraine headaches, most people have migraine headaches. If you find the very easy answer to the question as to why a person would get access to medical marijuana, it's not a very tall bridge to climb. So one might question, are we already at recreational marijuana? I think the answer becomes pretty clear when you figure the amount of reasons that one would qualify, match it up to the myriad of needs that are in our society, and you find that there are more people that are using legal marijuana in our country than statistics might bear.
Is there a concern that the recreational end of the marijuana argument can ruin might be a little bit of a strong term, that could spoil the medicinal end? I'm a huge proponent from a medicinal standpoint. It is almost inhumane to take away an asset for a cancer patient, take away an asset from someone who suffers from chronic pain and turns to marijuana for that pain relief. Is it a hindrance to have those who just want to smoke weed to get high?
I don't think so, because, you know, nothing, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, nothing can take away the positive impact that marijuana has for cancer patients, but for people that are suffering with chronic diseases and chronic pain. Thank God that scientists and those have been able to determine here's another way to bring relief to people who are suffering, people who have glaucoma, people who have illnesses that otherwise would continue to suffer. People, children that suffer from seizures that were determined that the only thing that gave them relief was to be able to inhale the fumes of cannabis. Well, you know, nothing should take away from that value, even those that might abuse the luxury that the law allows. The benefits to those who need it far, far, far outweigh. And I will continue to be a fierce advocate for making sure that cancer patients and people with chronic pain and chronic disease have access to cannabis for their success and their quality of life.
We got less than 2 minutes to go with Congressman Troy Carter. So, Congressman, I want to push back the goals for 2024. We'll talk about those next week. Give me one more accomplishment you look back on 2023 with, and you could say, I did that.
Well, you know, one of the things I'm really proud of is I mean, there's so many things that we've been fortunate collectively to get done in this last year. But one of the things that I'm particularly proud of, and we're still pushing, we haven't gotten there, and that is the Add Soy Act. When you think about the impacts of individuals who are lactose intolerant, you think about those people that, young people that are older people, but particularly our young people in cafeterias who are forced to attempt to digest something their bodies just can't. To sit at the lunch table and drink milk when in fact their bodies can't digest it. We know that upwards of 70% of African Americans, Asian Americans, Hispanic Americans cannot digest milk. And you wonder how a child goes to the classroom and is able to perform when their belly's literally bubbling and they can't concentrate, and they, God forbid, if they're told they can't go to the restroom and they either make a decision to get up and go even though they were told they're not, you know the consequences to that. Or if they obey and they sit there and they have an accident, we know the consequences to that, none of which are good. I continue to fight with USDA and many others to make the case that we should have alternatives for kids in the classroom. Not saying that you can't have milk, simply saying that you should have a soy, an oat, some other alternative so young people are able to enjoy lunch and still be able to go back to the classroom and be productive, particularly given that many of these young people, this will be the only wholesome meal that they may get that day. The second part, I know you asked for one, but I want to give you one more.
Okay.
Literally the $10.2 billion that we have brought into Louisiana. I could not be more proud of the infrastructure dollars that are flowing through Louisiana. Rather, it's for environmental justice, for flood control, for HBCUs, for our crumbling infrastructure, roads and bridges. We see the direct impact of the Inflation Reduction Act, of the infrastructure bill, the bipartisan infrastructure bill. We see these dollars are flowing. We see broadband throughout the state of Louisiana happening right here in our hometown. This is not things we're talking about. These are things that we've accomplished, and I'm incredibly proud of that.
We will talk 2024 goals when we reconvene next week, and I'll see you in a couple weeks up in Washington, D.C. for Mardi Gras. He is Congressman Troy Carter. We do D.C. Current every week. Appreciate you stopping by, and Happy New Year, sir.